Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you from a warm Boston, Massachusetts, on July the 26th, 2020, at 11 p.m. We are going on the air with a temperature here of 84 degrees, so anyone around here probably has the air conditioners or the fans running in order to have a good sleep tonight. So I want to welcome you to the show and let you know that the chat room is open, and the call-in number, as usual, is 914-803-4379. I encourage you to call in. There's a lot to talk about, and I think you, rather than getting depressed with all of the news and things that are happening in our country, especially since this pandemic has hit for several months now, probably going back to the beginning of the year when we first heard of it coming from China. Excuse me. We are now halfway through the year, more than halfway, and this will be our last show in July. So call in, let me know your thoughts. Call in number is 914-803-4379, and if you do call in, give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from, or your first name and what city and country you're calling from. Well, as usual, I start the show for the last several weeks now, since the pandemic has been with us. I've been giving you the statistics. They are somewhat depressing, but we should watch them and see which way it's going and act accordingly. I see there's been somewhat of a spike here, but I'll give you that in a minute. But let me give you the figures. And first I give you the global figures, and we have the breakdown between active deaths and recovered, and the three of those figures add up to the total infected, which is for global is 16, and these figures are changing regularly, but at the time I recorded them was 16,376,057 infected, and of those 5,722,406 were active, 651,160 deaths worldwide, and recovered, which is a large amount, 10,002,491 have been recovered. So well over half of those infected have recovered. So if you do get some indication that you might be infected, realize that doesn't mean it has to be that serious, as the recovery rate is quite high. All right, let me give you the U.S. figures. The active cases, 2,148,000. 127,952. Deaths, 149,740. That's compared to 137,735 2 weeks ago. And recovered, 2,084,599. And that's half of the total infected of 4,362,291. So we are leading the world. We're about 25% of the world's infected people, and about 20% of the, I'm sorry, about, well, 10% or maybe 12-13% of the total deaths attributed to the U.S. Some of the big states that are affected are, of course, New York, New Jersey, and my state of Massachusetts is actually third in the number of deaths. We have Florida and Texas starting to increase in their counts. And, of course, we were told well, there was some indication that the warmer weather would have an effect on the virus, but that doesn't seem to be happening in Florida. And I'm also seeing that there's a big spike in the in India. I think India is now the third leading country with the total number of cases. USA first, Brazil second, India third, then Russia, South Africa, Mexico, Peru, Chile, and Spain, the UK, Iran, and so forth. Those are the total cases. There are different statistics for the number of deaths. But pretty much New York is the highest in those. But anyway, what do you think? How's it affecting your life? Give me a call. Let me know your thoughts. Hopefully your family and you have been safe since the last time we met. Little weather in the news is it was now in the hurricane season, and we had Hurricane Hannah, which has been downgraded to a tropical storm, hitting Texas, and Hurricane Douglas in Hawaii. So hopefully those won't cause much damage, but we can expect more storms as we head our way into the mid and latter part of the summer and early fall. This big news coming out of the mainstream and the general news for the past weekend has been several more riots continuing in several of the big cities, Portland, Seattle, Austin, Texas, Louisville, Kentucky, and several others. The law enforcement officials have their hands full. I want to read you a little bit about what President Trump has to say about it. You can go to his site on the web, on the IRS website. I'm sorry, got IRS on the mind. The White House website. And he had been reporting in the middle of June, in the middle of July 15th, he talked about positive results in terms of dealing with the MS-13. And he says that his attorney general and the FBI and others concerned with our cities because the left-wing group of people that are running our cities, primarily headed by Democrats, are not doing their job that they should be doing, and it is not a very tough job to do if they knew what they were doing. So we'll be talking about that the next week and probably have an announcement as to what we're planning to do to help them. They're supposed to be asking for help, and they don't want to ask, so maybe they're proud, or maybe they think it's bad politically, but we can't have what's happen. The job of the federal government in the preamble is to ensure domestic tranquility. Now, we all agree that people have the right to protest, but protesting peacefully is different than violent protesting, and when it gets to be in the violent category, decisions have to be made by the elected officials to make sure the property and person and property are protected, so they have to use the necessary forces to quell any of that type of violence, and I believe that they are starting to do that, and groups will be arrested and prosecuted if they break the law. I want to read a clip of from InfoWars about a man on who was shot recently, and I'm going to award him the 3 V's in Action Award, and his name is Bernie Trammell. And he is a 60-year-old man who was shot and killed in Milwaukee. And it was, all intents and purposes, looks like it was because he supported Trump. He was in that process just hours before he was killed. So I'm going to play the Fox News broadcast of that story. So here we go.
That daytime shooting leaves many who knew this man wondering why.
Hey there, Steph. Had that shooting happening in broad daylight at around 12:30 today. Now, police have not identified the man yet, but multiple friends say the man that was shot was Bernell Trammell, known for being a kind conversationalist with a variety of viewpoints.
A growing memorial for a man friends say was kind, loving, and not afraid to speak his mind.
That guy was just full of love.
It was very deep conversations.
He's just a community figure. It's on today.
Adebisi Ogoro says he stopped by Bernell Trammell's place at around 10:30 Thursday morning to talk politics and beliefs, videotaping part of their conversation.
I'm from Wisconsin, Afro-American community.
If you don't recognize Trammell's name, you might recognize his signs, maybe on a street corner, varying from the political to social justice and religion.
I respected him just because he had a position. He got his opinion on why he feel that way. I'm not going to knock him.
Then Aguro says he left.
We walked outside on the porch and we seen all these cars, so we were kind of like, let's go over there and kind of see what's going on.
It was around 12:30. Police say they got a call for a shooting. Roommates Andrew Olmstead and Taylan Pulley heading out to shoot some hoops.
We saw the cops pull up, the vans, ambulance, firefighters, and we sat and watched. They gave CPR for about 15 to 20 minutes.
Police haven't identified the man, but those who live in the neighborhood and know him well say it was Trammell who was shot and killed. Friends and acquaintances at a loss for who would kill him, worrying it might have to do with his various stances.
He would always say to me, "Jah is light." That's why it's shining. The sun is still shining. Because Jah is light.
Jeanette Iowan says she would pop in the storefront of his three-story building where he had a publishing company talking religion from Christianity to Rastafari.
It was very deep conversations, very philosophical. And he was a really great guy. He mean no harm.
Now, police say there's not a lot of information about what led up to the shooting or who may be responsible. You're asked if you have any information or you might know who might be responsible. You're asked to call the Milwaukee Police Department. And if you want to remain anonymous, you can call Crime Stoppers. Reporting in River West, Bill Miston, Fox 6 News.
Rural Americans from all walks of life and culture here in Wisconsin, particularly here in Milwaukee, to vote Donald Trump for this year, Trump 2020. I believe Trump is the sign of the times in which Afro-Americans, according to Yahweh, shot through the world, wickedly or ignorantly calls Jesus Christ, told us that we discern the skies as far as weather, and we're correct. But we're not as correct when it comes to signs of the times. Now, the reason why I say Trump is a sign of the time is because Trump did something nobody has done, no president, black or white, has done from the White House. He took an Afro-American woman, a descendant of the slave, and took her all the way to the White House and gave her a position, showing the whole world that the Afro-American woman, a descendant of the slave, had the intelligence to run his cabinet. And that was Amarosa in Trump's cabinet. Number two, what Trump did, again, why I believe he should be president, sign of the time, is he sat down with an Afro-American that no president has ever done. It's the United States of America. If any of y'all can remember the Dred Scott case, the Supreme Court told him he is to work and die. Trump sat down with Kanye West and had a real conversation, and everything can be checked online. So that's my reason for bringing the conscious, hopefully bringing the consciousness to Afro-Americans from all walks of life and culture to vote Trump. And I have been sent to collect the testimonies from Afro-Americans from all walks of life and culture since 1984. 1994 is when the first publication came forward. But these two scriptures I want y'all to focus in on, Matthew 16:3 and Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, for the sign of, the only sign we're given now is the sign of Jonah. Thank you.
Okay, well, there is a man that was doing what Americans have the right to do. He was on the street. He was supporting Trump and Christian principles, and he was shot. So, Bernie Trammell, God bless you. You have been named a 3V's Action Award winner. You use your voice and your time, and I'm sure you would have used your voice in November to do what you believed was the right thing to do, regardless of whether it was popular with some other people or not. So that's the story there. Okay, so let me see if there's anyone in the chat room. I know no one's there now, but give me a call in. Let me know what you think of Bernie Trammell, especially if you're in Milwaukee. And I'm wondering how much of a support movement will generate from his death, like it did with the death of Floyd, George Floyd, in several months, weeks or months ago, when it rallied many people to protest the police actions. And let's see how much of a movement there is in support of Bernie Trammell. All right, well, moving on, I have some statistics or some stories here. $1 trillion GOP coronavirus relief plan is set to be released Monday. That's tomorrow. $1 trillion Republican coronavirus relief plan. It will include an additional round of $1,200 checks and extend the federal eviction moratorium, which has expired, so that the landlords will not be able to evict people that are impacted financially from the coronavirus. Now, of course, we have to consider the landlords who rely on the rents, and so there can be unintended consequences for actions. Whether or not this relief plan is sensible, I know there's conversations throughout the country about it, but that's what's happening, is that there will be another check for $1,200 going to people that received it several months ago, or within the last few months, and also probably the $2,400 will be going to the couples. I'm not sure if the children will get the $500 that applied in the previous relief plan. But ladies and gentlemen, how much of an impact is this going to have on our economy? Our economy is already suffering. I'm seeing that 32 million Americans receive unemployment benefits. 32 million, well, that's the population, let's say, is 320 or 30 million. Well, that's 10% of the population, and the workforce is probably half of that, so it might be 20% of the workforce. They'll say the workforce is 150 million. Well, 20% of that would be 30 million, so that's like one-fifth of the workforce, and some people think it may even be higher. Of course, all these numbers can be questioned. I've always been suspect of the figures that we're getting, both with regard to the economic information, the medical information, all kinds of facts and figures. As Mark Twain said, statistics, there are lies, damnable lies, and then there are statistics. Well, what else do I have for you? I want to mention that the big story is in the area of the precious metals, but I'm going to start off giving you with the stock market figures. The Dow Jones closed at 26,469.89. That's up from 2 weeks ago. The NASDAQ is down. It's finally taking a move downward after several months of increases. But the NASDAQ closed at 10,363.17, down from 2 weeks ago, which it closed at 10,617.44. The S&P is closed at 3,215.63, and that's up from its prior two-week closing. Now, gold has been the story, gold and silver. Gold closed at what I understand to be a record, not a record close. Well, I believe a record close, not a record high. But it closed the week at 1901. This is the spot price, not the futures. 1901.30 an ounce. And silver is at 22.71 an ounce, and that was up from 1868, so that's a remarkable increase in silver. And the gold-silver ratio is narrowing now down to 83.55, and many of us, including economist Peter Schiff, thinks it's going to narrow much more, as silver is an exceptional bargain based on the gold silver ratio. I'd also like to mention the approval and disapproval ratings of President Trump, as I do every 2 weeks, and they've improved slightly. The latest from July 7th to July 23rd, his approval is at 42.2%, and it's up a little from the 41.6, and his disapproval is at 56.0. That's down a little from the 56.2. So the president has got many issues. He seems to be handling them very much better than Joe Biden, who is criticized for hiding in his basement. We don't hear much from him. I think he's trying to just rely that the polls that are showing him in the lead will carry him all the way to the White House. But the American people are starting to wake up and smell the coffee and see what's going on. And I'm going to be playing a clip from Dr. Lively about how Marxism has to be dealt with, as it seems to be clear that the violence that has taken place, especially in the big cities, is the result of anarchists and Marxists, and it's nothing new. It's been repeated from decades and maybe centuries ago when they used the same tactics, violence and lies and propaganda, and trying to take control of the institutions, especially the media, the schools, and the government. So one other thing I'd like to mention, I found out you might want to look it up. It's there's a movie out called Tulip Fever. What do you know about tulips? Most people just think it's a flower, probably. But there was a mania, I believe, in the 17th century in Holland, and primarily in Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, where tulips were the mania and were as valuable to the people in that country as gold and silver are in many other countries. And maybe even if you see Bitcoin as another, could be another mania. But I'll stick with gold. It's met the test of time, and I would encourage you to be careful with where you throw your money. A lot of people are joining this group called Robinhood, where they're young, especially the younger people who are out of work, and now spending their time getting involved in the stock market. And I hope they're not going to have the same thing that happened as in the .com. But millions of unemployed Americans are flooding into the stock market. And you can look up the website Robinhood. They logged 3 million new accounts since March. And E-Trade, which I have an account at, opened over 250,000 retail accounts just since March. So the stock market is quite active. But a word to the wise is sufficient. A word of warning is sufficient to be very careful and do your due diligence and get some people that know what they're talking about. I would like to encourage you to listen to Peter Schiff. Go to schiffradio.com and you can listen to his podcast. Of course, he's also on Facebook and YouTube, and he has a YouTube channel. But he is an economist, and he has been touting the benefits of gold for some time. He does have a gold company, but his viewpoints are sound, you can listen to him and compare him with others, and make your decisions as to where you want to go. So that's about it for the live portion of the show. Thank you. Nobody came again. I know this is a late hour, but thank you for coming. We'll see you in the next show. It's on Blog Talk Radio on August 9th, 2020. We'll see you then. So God bless you all, and God bless America. Good night, everyone. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you with the non-live portion of the show. There are no call-ins now. So if you have notes and you want to call in again, you'll have to wait until August the 9th, 2020. And you can talk about it then. Well, we just had someone in the chat room, but they have left. So, yeah, call in on August 9th and let me know your thoughts. Stay safe. Use your common sense in dealing with the pandemic. Don't get overwhelmed by it. Remember, in God we trust. And if you're in good standing with Him, there is nothing to fear. Okay, right now I'm going to play a clip from one of my favorites. I think he is my favorite. I know I've played more clips from him than anyone. I know I play a lot from Dr. Chaps on PrayInJesusName.org. You can go to his website. I'd encourage you to have a library of websites that you can visit and get good information from. Coming to you from a Judeo-Christian perspective and a constitutional outlook, and we need to abide by a constitution and demand that our government uphold the constitution, and for those that do not, we have to remove them from office, like pulling a tooth. They have to be replaced. And Dr. Lively sees Marxism as a major issue that we have to deal with, and he produces lots of clips. His website is scottlively.net. So he's got a good one tonight, and see if I can find it, and we'll play that. It's the title of it is Scott Lively on Waging War Against Marxism. It runs for about 9 minutes or so, so we have enough time to cover it. So let's listen to Dr. Lively coming to you from Tennessee.
This is Dr. Scott Lively.
Okay, here we go.
Studios on July 18th, and today I'm going to be reading an essay that I want to the listener and the reader to bear in mind has a specific context, and that is the context of the Marxist coup against our Constitution. I believe we are in a state of war, essentially, and that the Marxist agitators operating in many of America's largest cities really do want to overthrow our Constitution and replace our constitutional republic with their own Marxist regime. And this essay is written for that specific context. I would never have written an article like this in prior times when it seemed possible that that constitutionalists and Marxists could peacefully coexist under our Constitution, but these people have proven that they will not be restrained and or constrained by our Constitution, and so we need to move to into a more warlike footing regarding them. So that's what this essay is about. And without further ado, this is my essay, The Seven Principles of Biblical Warfare for Purging the Cancer of Marxism from America. As a culture war missionary and attorney, I believe the Bible contains the highest law on this earth, and the divine principles underlying the Mosaic law remain constant and binding upon all mankind, even in cases where the letter of individual statutes may rightly be deemed situational to an ancient context or fulfilled by Christ. In my view, it is the spirit, not the letter of the law, that is perfect, Psalms 19:7 and 2 Corinthians 3:6, and as essential in the fabric of creation as the fundamentals of physics. That's an important caveat in an article offering Deuteronomy 20 as the model for defeating the attempted Marxist coup we're currently suffering. These Marxists are skilled and experienced liars, professional false witnesses who routinely misrepresent the words and deeds of American constitutionalists for political ends, and they hold a virtual monopoly on our public information systems. It has never been more important for patriots to be circumspect in our rhetoric, not primarily because of them, because the Marxists will simply fabricate lies to attribute to us no matter what we say. No, we must be especially scrupulous in what we say and do now, because if, by the reestablishment of the rule of true law, we are able to purge the cancer of Marxism from our Judeo-Christian civilization, we will retroactively be held to those same higher standards for our own speech and actions in the prosecution of that war. So yes, I am saying Marxism is a cancer that must be removed, because it is now clear that our prior policy of peaceful coexistence on equal terms is no longer possible. Not because of what we want, but because what these Marxists have actually established as their guiding philosophy. They will not be constrained by the Constitution. But I'm also saying we must not employ the corrupt Marxist strategies, tactics, and reasoning in the removal process. We must not be like the socialist Weimar government of the 1920s, for example, to empower an army of national socialist street thugs to fight the Soviet communist street thugs in the blood-splattered cities of Bavaria. Neither can we create a South American-style dictatorial right-wing crackdown of skull-busting stormtroopers repeatedly chasing left-wing guerrillas back into the hills. What we need is an organized nationwide army of God-fearing, Constitution-loving patriots who follow God's law of warfare. John Adams warned that, quote, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution is designed only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for any other, end quote. Today's Marxist revolutionaries have proved Adam correct by shattering the bulwarks of the Constitution from within, using liberty as a springboard to anarchy and tolerance as a pathway to tyranny. Their malignancy has overwhelmed the immune system of the body politic, leaving the extreme measure of emergency surgery as our final option. In other words, what we need is an American reset to constitutional originalism, in which all the seats of power and influence in this nation are filled by constitutionalists. These constitutionalists will not kill those whom they supplant, as the Marxists will certainly kill some, perhaps many, patriots if their coup succeeds. Mark my words. Constitutionalists will simply take the Marxist power away and update America's sedition and treason laws to prevent their resurgence. So how can this be done? By using the seven principles of war from Deuteronomy 20. Number one, men skilled in warfare must lead this army, but the clergy among the leadership must provide spiritual encouragement and remind everyone that the enemy's numbers and strength mean nothing, because God will fight for them if they trust and serve him. That's verses 1 through 4 of Deuteronomy 20. Number two, only brave warriors who can focus on the task at hand without worldly distractions can serve in this army. Everyone else should stay out of the way. That's verses 5 through 8. Number 3, only after the army is formed do the officers appoint campaign commanders suited to the particular battles. Verse 9. Number 4, every stronghold must be given the chance to surrender, and if they do, the people must not be punished beyond being completely stripped of power and required from that point forward to scrupulously submit to the rule of law under direct supervision, verses 10 through 11. Number 5, strongholds which refuse to surrender must be besieged and defeated, and their leaders punished appropriately. This is where the principle of the law supersedes the letter in the modern context, since this army must not, with the exception of actual and aggravated treason, as determined by a court of law, employ capital punishment. Further, all of the resources of that stronghold must be repurposed to serve the rule of law, verses 12 through 15. Number 6, rebellious strongholds, which fall into the special category of institutions or industries intended to teach, promote, and uphold objective truth for the benefit of all society, for example, academia, law, and media must receive greater attention by the conquering army regarding all combatants, not just the leaders. And their punishment must include restrictions that strip them of every means to advance their ideology and agenda from that point forward. That's verses 16 through 18. Number 7. In the prosecution of this war, any tangible resources that can be restored to beneficial use must be preserved and used in subsequent battles. But those which cannot bear fruit for the restored society should be destroyed. Talking about the resources, not the people. Verses 19 through 20. By God's grace, we have a commander-in-chief who seems to truly want the restoration of America and who has clergy in his inner circle who could introduce him to these 7 biblical principles of war. I pray they will see this article and pass its insights along. But in my view, the army which must be formed is not exclusively an arm of the Trump administration, but a coalition of forces like the Continental Militia of the Founders' era. And prominent in those ranks should be the modern clergy of the Black Robe Regiment and patriotic men and women from every walk of life. If you agree with all of this, sign my Declaration of Restoration at scottlively.net. To add your voice to this rallying cry, just look for the button bar item that regards the Revolutionary Remnant Regiment. And of course, please pass this along to others. So that's my commentary for today. And like I said, I never would have written this essay except in a wartime context. If by some miracle we manage to get through the next few months and have an election that actually brings constitutional rights back, a respect for the Constitution back, and a continuation of the Constitutional Republic, then I'll take every word of this back. But if it's true that what I'm defining here is actual warfare, a war of aggression by Marxists against our constitutional republic, then I believe this interpretation of Deuteronomy 20 is perfectly appropriate and the best means of being able to protect ourselves from the overthrow of our government. That's all I got for you today. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next time.
Yes, well, God bless you, Dr. Lively, and I'm sure you're going to get many people signing that declaration.
Before the pandemic, Ed Martin fought for health care for all.
Whoops, got to turn that off. Sorry about that. But yeah, there's an ad coming on for our state's a U.S. Senate job. We have a contest here between the incumbent, Ed Markey, And Joe Kennedy, the congressman, we're supporting the Republican, Dr. Shiva. So what was I saying as far as the going to his website and signing that declaration? I have a few minutes, so I'm going to read it to you. Well, the Declaration of Restoration. The course of human events since the early days of the 20th century has made it necessary in this generation for the American people to rise up and re-anchor our political foundation in the laws of nature and of nature's God, as he entitled us to do. We therefore firmly reassert the truths under our founders rightly held to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The government that the founders instituted for us derived its just powers from the consent of the governed, but because the present form of government has assumed tyrannical powers we did not grant to it and no longer acknowledges dependence upon God, it is our right and duty to alter it, reestablishing its foundational principles and reorganizing its powers to restore the God-honoring, limited, constitutionalist republic the founders bequeathed to us. To those just and necessary ends, therefore, we citizens of the United States of America, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of this nation solemnly publish this declaration for the cause of its enactment with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. God bless you all, and God bless America.